Vikas, welcome back to Breakfast with Refilo. Thank you so much for joining us again. The family convened over the weekend to commemorate the passing of Collins Khoza. Have you been in touch with them? Can you give us some perspective on how that commemoration went?
Good morning, Refilo. Yes, I've been in touch with both sides of the family. The Joburg-based family at the Tombstone unveiling this weekend, and it's opened all the wounds for them. They are very emotional, and have been for the past 2 weeks. It's not an anniversary, if you can call it that, that they've been looking forward to. The other side of the family, the children and the mother, are even worse. They're struggling to keep it above water, and they're totally struggling to accept what happened to Collins.
Vikas, you've obviously, as their attorney, as their family attorney, been keeping a close eye on making sure that we get some accountability from the actions of these SANDF soldiers. It seemed as though what we did see from earlier inquiries was quite limited, an internal inquiry, absolving them of culpability, even though the blunt trauma to the head was found to be the cause of death through the post-mortem. And it seemed as though there was a slap on the wrist, suspension with full pay and a review of the guidelines of how to, manage crowd control for the SANDF. I know that there were ongoing efforts on your end. What have we seen in the past year?
If we go back to that first report that actually found that Collins and his brother-in-law were the cause of his own death, and that they provoked the soldiers, and that basically the soldiers did nothing wrong. And at that time, the family also said it's an insult. The reports cannot be accepted. There is a review underway. Which found that the soldiers were in some form guilty of the conduct, but still nothing much is going to come of it. They're going to review the procedures and make sure that there are new rules in place, but no one is telling them how to enforce the rules and how to actually comply with their duties. I think it's just a sham and a show that they're putting up for public to make it seem like something is being done to avoid future killings, but it's not going to happen. The killings will continue.
I think the last time we spoke, Vikas, we were touching on hoping to get some criminal culpability. I don't know how difficult that is from within the SANDF, when we're talking about civilians.
From the SANDF, they've got their own internal procedures, but the police, SAPS, is still investigating it as a murder docket, and that investigation is unfortunately still underway. It is a long process. But it is going in a direction, and they are trying to hold someone criminally liable for it, regardless of the civilians or from the military.
And, going forward, is there some kind of a civil culpability or payout, I suppose, that the state would make to the family?
Yeah, so we've instituted a summons against the minister. It's been going for quite some time now. It's in advanced stages of negotiations to come to some form of settlement. I cannot go into much of the details of it, but it does seem that there will be a form of payout for the family, not necessarily all the relief that we're asking for, like the statue to be erected in Collins' name. But it finally seems that the military is accepting some form of liability and responsibility. It was just the details that we will finalize it.
Because, in your sense of, dealings with the SANDF and maybe incidents of a similar nature where you might be seeking precedent, how widespread is this kind of brutality that we see in dealing with the SANDF?
It's unfortunate, but my office is flooded with files from SANDF brutality, especially during lockdown. Once Collins' case got out in the public, I was contacted by too many people. So many people were assaulted, humiliated. Others were killed, shot, injured. I know it's not the military, but just a couple of weeks ago, the police killed a man in Johannesburg town with a rubber bullet. Wasn't even part of a protest. It seems like our law enforcement and the military is completely untrained, unprepared, and out of control, and just simply do not know how to do their job. Just looking at the number of files that I've got for similar matters, I'm too scared to know how many matters there are really countrywide where the military was involved in killing or injuring someone.
And with impunity, up until you stepped in, thank goodness. All right. And look, I mean, we're also commemorating the 10 years, reflection on Andries Tatane, another protester who was killed by the police through a rubber bullet just 10 years ago in Ficksburg. And so I know how long these processes can take. As I understand it, the family is still finding difficulty with that particular case. So thank you very much for fighting the good fight, Vikas, and going on with this particular one. It's only 1 year down the line for you. I hope it won't take a full 10 years to find justice.
Let's hope we get justice as soon as we can.
Indeed. Vikas Dale is attorney at Ian Levitt Attorneys, and he represents the Khoza family, Collins Khoza, obviously being that gentleman. The first very high-profile death at the beginning of lockdown last year. Just for a perspective, have a listen to an interview that was held last May, where his brother-in-law, Thabiso Muvhango, actually happens to be describing what happened that day, and he also was assaulted by the SANDF.
They were busy assaulting my brother-in-law by that time. So those guys, GNPD guys, they said to me, no, you know, the only thing that you guys did wrong was to argue with soldiers. You're not supposed to argue with them. But I was like, soldiers are not above the law. We were not wrong. We're within our rights. So we are saying now, if we have contravened any regulation, arrest us. Those guys advised me. They said, okay, it's fine. We cannot arrest you because you haven't done anything wrong. Do me a favor. Go back to the yard. Don't talk to them. I said, okay, it's fine. So as I approached the yard, those SNDF members, the two guys who were assaulting me, I think they were surprised what is happening now. So the other one took the beer that was there by the streets. He opened it. He poured it over my head. The rest he put put on my private parts. The same they did to my brother-in-law. So as we went in, after everything, they poured the alcohol to me, and he was slapping me again. I was telling him, arrest me, guys, if I've contravened any regulation. So as we went in, that's when I realized those two ladies who initially approached us, they were now inside the yard, having an argument with the ladies. By that time, my wife was 6 or 7 months pregnant. I don't remember quite well. And my brother-in-law's partner, she was from work. So those guys were not even drunk. We were not drunk ourselves, because we remember everything. As we approached, those ladies now they wanted to assault our wives. So that's when the attention turned to my brother-in-law's partner. Do you know those ladies? They whipped her with a shambok on the face, but she never reacted. She was standing still. And she was bleeding. That's when I think my brother-in-law came in. So he was like, guys, but why are you assaulting my wife? She never did anything wrong. Why is it that you're assaulting her? That's when two of the SNDF members, they took him inside the house where we were sitting right now. What happened, we don't know. But we could hear bangs, like, was somebody being banged against the against the wall. We don't know what happened until this day.
Shocking. That's the defense force that's supposed to apparently keep South Africans safe. Just absolutely abusive and completely with impunity.